Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
As I was saying, there's a depressing hearkening back to the past in the headlines this morning with all of these repeated calls for calm following another night of violence on the streets in West Belfast. The unrest in loyalist communities saw a bus hijacked and set on fire while a photographer was also attacked. BBC reporter Mark Simpson is on the Shankill Road this morning. He joins us on the line now. Mark, what happened last night?
Well, the problem is, Philip, this was the eighth night in a row in Northern Ireland that there's been violence. And as we know, history tells us that when it comes to violence here, it can become a habit and nobody knows when it's going to stop. And it went up a notch last night. Areas like the Shankill have been quiet in recent days, but last night violence erupted, and it also erupted near a peace line close to the Falls Road. And by 10 o'clock last night, you had youths from the Shankill and youths from this Falls area throwing stones over the peace line at each other. As you said in the introduction, it harks back to the past, and here we are, 100 years into Northern Ireland, 23 years since the Good Friday Agreement. People thought those sorts of scenes belonged to the past.
And was there any sign of community leaders or adult voices in either community on either side of the peace line telling the youth to go home?
Yes, there was. But no, there wasn't any effective leadership on the ground. And there is this suspicion that the main loyalist organisations here, like the UVF and the UDA, while they may not be making the petrol bombs and orchestrating the violence, they're letting it happen. If you look at the areas where there has been violence in the past 7 days, North Belfast, Newton Abbey, Carrickfergus, Ballymena, the waterside area of Derry, all areas where paramilitaries have an influence, clearly they're not using this influence to stop the violence. They're letting it happen, and I think that's significant.
I'm not sure how relevant it actually is going to be now were Arlene Foster to meet with the Chief Constable, but there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing today about whether she will or she won't. What's the latest on that now?
Well, I'm looking at a sign here on the Shankill Road, and it says, "Today's risk takers are tomorrow's history makers." And I think there is a call now for leadership on all sides. And I think what some people are saying to Arlene Foster is, whatever misgivings you have about meeting the Chief Constable, Simon Byrne, given events of recent months, you need to put that aside and meet him today. All the indications are that she is going to meet the Chief Constable. This is a crisis. You may not meet him face to face because we are in the middle of a pandemic, though you wouldn't think so when you see those scenes from Belfast last night. But the indications are, Philip, yes, they will have talks at some stage today.
There was an awful lot of conversation backwards and forwards also last night on social media about her tweet in which she condemned the violence but then went on to say that it only serves to take the attention off the real lawbreakers, Sinn Féin. Did that have any consequence on the streets?
I don't think anyone on the street was looking at their phone other than taking pictures to be able to tweet or put on social media themselves. I think it would be wrong to say that this had an impact on the street. It certainly had an impact in politics, and I've heard even Alan Kelly from the Labour Party condemn what Arlene Foster, the DUP leader, put at the end of her tweet. But there is also some sympathy here for what she's saying within the unionist community, because they are blaming Sinn Féin for stirring up political tension. Sinn Féin would categorically deny that and say it's unionist rhetoric. And we're back to this zero-sum game in Northern Ireland where everybody's blaming each other for the trouble. And as we said previously, we've heard all this before.
And it's top of the agenda in Stormont today. Is anything that'll be said there likely to have any impact?
I think the impact is going to be, Philip, that it may moderate the language. This was looking like a free-for-all with all sides going at each other verbally in the Stormont chamber. That debate starts at 11 o'clock, a debate on the recent violence. I think there will be now time for people to reflect and wonder what sort of image that would send out in Northern Ireland. I mean, some people are calling for the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister to physically stand together today to put out a call for calm and cool heads and showing leadership at the top and setting an example of people burying their differences and trying to find a better way.
Mark Simpson from the BBC, thank you very much. I'm joined also from Belfast now by Billy Hutchinson, leader of the Progressive Unionist Party. Billy, good morning and thank you very much for taking our call.
Good morning, Philip.
Before I get you to put your PUP hat on, can I get you to give me a personal reaction to what you saw last night on the Shankill Road? Because unless I'm mistaken, your path into the UVF and ultimately to prison would have started with stone throwing at exactly the same interface areas.
Well, not at that interface area. It used to be a river that was called the Meadow. But no, I get your point, Philip. And Philip, you know, the Progressive Unionist Party is very, very clear. We're calling for young people to desist from violence. We don't believe that it helps them or helps anybody else. And I think, you know, we argue that this is a political problem and it needs a political solution. And that's the difficulty. So really, the Assembly need to be doing this, but I think more than the Assembly doing it. I think political unionism needs to get together and give the same single message that we don't want young people on the streets threatened, we don't want them hurt, and we don't want them ending up with criminal records. So that's what we need to be doing. But I think it needs to come from unionism. I think when that happens, then the next step is up to the Assembly to actually try to do something together in terms of, you know, First and Deputy First Minister.
It does need to come from unionism, but sure as damn it, if the PUP was out on the streets last night, if Billy Hutchinson was at that peace line last night saying, put down the stones, put down the petrol bombs and go home, that's exactly what would have happened.
Yeah, well, there's positives to take from this, and nobody's reported this, but, you know, our people on the ground in that particular area seen parents and encouraged parents to take their children away, their teenage children, and they did that. So, you know, we shouldn't see it all as doom and gloom. I'm actually, concerned about the momentum at this gets because, you know, once, I think Mark actually said it there in his report, you know, I'm using different words to Mark, but, you know, this just gets momentum. It's very, very hard to stop. The other thing I think, Philip, is that two people understand. My point of view is that once a riot starts, it's very, very hard to actually stop it. It doesn't matter whether it's paramilitaries or anybody else. The paramilitaries will be damned if they do and damned if they don't. They'll be accused of bullying children and all the rest of it. But the point I want to make is that, you know, I would always say to our people when we're on the ground, if a riot starts, you have to leave or stand back. But what we need to do is to try to encourage the prevention of this happening in the first place.
Well, what's motivating it in the first place, Billy? What is motivating it in the first place, Billy? Because I can't imagine that there's too many of those 12 or 13-year-old lads who are really that concerned about the Northern Ireland Protocol.
And they aren't. And that's true. But what they are concerned is that we live in a divided society and whether it's real or whether it's the perception that the police are behaving in a different way in Republican communities than they are in loyalist communities, then that sends out the wrong message. And I think that, so that needs to be resolved. I know that Arlene called for the resignation of the Chief Constable. I think she needs to get past that now. And the other difficulty, Philip, is that I had people ringing me last night and saying, why does Arlene not just sack the Chief Constable? And I said, she doesn't have authority. And that's the issue. You know, people don't really understand the nuances of all this politics and politicking. I don't think that the media, and this isn't the fault of the media, but I don't think that the media or any of us that are on the media are trying to explain to people, you know, whose responsibility it is to actually deal with the Chief Constable. But, you know, from my point of view, there's a policing board there that's made up of independent members and also of politicians. And I'm wondering what they have been doing over the last 6 months or a couple of years. I don't hear very much from them. And my view is, Philip, and it's very clear, my view is if police do something very well, I congratulate them. If they do something wrong, then I criticise them. That's what democracy is about. You know, but we need a police service in Northern Ireland.
It's almost, Billy, it's almost as if Arlene Foster was listening to you, because she has just literally tweeted in the last couple of seconds, "I have spoken with the Chief Constable as he briefs political parties. Thoughts are particularly with those officers injured by the unjustified and unjustifiable violence of recent days. Those responsible must be subject to the full rigour of the law. All must be equal under the law." Now, just as short a time as 24 hours ago on Good Morning Ulster, she was saying, "The only thing that I will be meeting Simon Byrne to tell him to do is to resign." There's no mention of that there. So she's stepping back from that, at least. What you're describing to us here, though, sorry, did you want to pick up on that?
No, no, I just wanted to say that, I mean, Arlene's doing the right thing. You know, whether she's come to this suddenly or whether she's come to it over a number of days, she's making the right decision. As the first minister in this country, that's the position she is.
All right, so that's making the right step on policing. But what you're describing to me is a situation where the grievance of those young people in loyalist communities, you're saying, is what they feel is unequal policing. Have the DUP then tried to, do you think, hitch their own political wagon, their own Brexit grievances, to those grievances of working class Protestant communities in Belfast?
Well, I think if people, you know, once people start talking and people get disillusioned about Brexit or about anything else, then that is picked up in the community. And unfortunately, it's not picked up in the right way. And what I mean is, did anybody voting for Brexit understand what it was about? Because it wasn't really there. It's not what we know now that we were asked to do then. So you have that problem. Mm. It's the same. It's just politics. I think communities pick this up. Communities are angry, and communities are sitting back waiting on some sort of peaceful protest to be called or to be had. I think younger people don't get that. You know, if we go back to the times of the Troubles,
But sorry, can I ask you, just for the sake of clarity on this, Billy, because we're going to be talking to Sammy Wilson from the DUP in a few minutes' time, do you think that there has been a conflation here of working-class loyalist grievances with their circumstances with the wider political negotiations going on in Westminster on Brexit and on the Northern Protocol?
No, I don't. I think that these are some of the things that people are picking up, and I think that they're causing concern. I think that we need to realise that in the eyes of loyalism, or in the eyes of working class unionists who live in sort of housing estates, I think that quite a lot of people actually believe that the protocols will be some sort of dilution of their Britishness. And I think that we need to be very careful about all of this, because in the past I have said, you know, whether you live in the Shankill or whether you live in the Falls, you know, you don't really have a stake in society. And if you don't have that stake in society, you know, the flag, the culture, and all of those other things that represent that become very, very important, because that's what you hang on to. And I just have to say to you that, you know, in terms of working class communities and unions, there is, they don't feel that they've got that political leadership. They do, because they elect people, but they still don't feel that it's doing what they need them to do.
So is your point to Sammy Wilson and to the DUP then, this is in large part on you because you've neglected these communities for so long?
What I'm saying is that, yeah, unionism need to be doing something. If you look at loyalist communities, I would imagine and know that most people will say, what did we get from the priest process and what Republicans got? So that's the problem and that's an issue. How we deal with that is another thing. The people who can deal with it are the people who are in the Assembly. But there needs to be some sort of encouragement that they're not treating one community better than the other.
And what is your intuition about where this goes from here? Does it unravel or can it be salvaged?
Well, I mean, I would always see the glass half full rather than half empty. I think that we need to make sure that we do something about it. We can't afford to unravel anymore. And what we need to be doing is making sure that we have plans politically, and actually people will know that we're trying to do something and they'll buy in to peaceful protests. There's lots of ways of being heard. I just want to say, and I'll say this, you know, I think that the problem is when young people are out ratting, the one thing that will not be heard is their story.
Okay.
And it won't be heard for the simple reason of the noise of the rats. And I think if we had that during the Troubles and the guns and bombs, actually drowned it out the people who wanted to do the right thing. So we need to make sure that we don't allow our young people to be down the same path, and we don't allow people to make clarion calls for young people in working class communities to be the cannon fodder.
Billy Hutchinson, leader of the Progressive Unionist Party in the Shankill Road this morning, thank you very much. And as I suggested there, after the break, we're going to be talking to the DUP's Sammy Wilson and SDLP's Claire Hannah.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Sammy Wilson and Claire Hannah, good morning to both of you. Claire Hannah of the SDLP, if I can start with you first, please. When you read Arlene Foster's tweet last night saying that the rioting was an embarrassment to Northern Ireland and only served to take the attention off the real lawbreakers, Sinn Féin, what did you infer from that?
Well, like a lot of people, I was frustrated about it because what we needed were calming words and a level of clarity about what should and shouldn't be happening, not, I suppose, a rehash of the old...
Claire, could I ask a favour of you, please? If you're on a speakerphone, would you mind coming off it because you're just a little bit too far away from the mouthpiece?
I'm not, but perhaps that's a little better.
Oh, that is a little bit better, thank you.
Yeah. I suppose, like a lot of people, I was frustrated to hear it because to read the tweet because we needed a clarity of message about the fact that lawlessness in general is wrong, rather than finger pointing. And people will know the SDLP have strong views about the political events that have brought us to this point. But at the moment, when we're at risk of spiraling into further violence, it's a time for clarity and it's a time for calming, and it's not a time for pointing the finger and trying to make people even angrier.
Sammy Wilson, what was your reaction when you read it?
Well, yeah, first of all, Arlene couldn't have been clearer.
Are you also on Bluetooth or on a speaker? Because I'm having a problem hearing you.
No, I'm not.
There, that's a little bit better again. Sorry, start again.
First of all, Arlene couldn't have been clearer in what she said, that the violence was wrong, that it was counterproductive, that was damaging people's own community, going to damage people's own lives, and it could stop. So I don't think she'd be any clearer than that. But she'd have been remiss in her duty if she hadn't pointed out that the real lawbreakers in Northern Ireland are Sinn Féin, who made the laws about COVID, and then who wanted to have a show of strength at a terrorist funeral, and broke all of those laws, and indeed involved the police in their law-breaking as well. And that then has caused real anger in the unionist community. Now,
the real lawbreakers are the people who infringed or breached COVID restrictions, not the people who tried to blow up a bus and use it as a lethal weapon.
Well, Arlene made it quite clear that the people who did that were breaking the law as well and should be subject to the full rigour of the law. But the problem that many people see in Northern Ireland is that one community is subject to the full rigour of the law when it comes to its application, and Sinn Féin are exempt from it. I mean, Sinn Féin made the laws in Stormont that stop people going to their own parents and their own families' funerals, that stop people having their businesses open, that stop people going on their holiday.
And whatever those grievances are, Sammy Wilson, whatever those grievances are, was this the time...
broke the law and got the police to support them in it.
Whatever those grievances are, Sammy Wilson, was this the time to effectively be saying, look, I condemn this violence, but if you're rioting because of the Bobby Storey funeral, I believe that your outrage is justified?
No, she didn't say that.
I think it's a fair inference.
She made it quite clear that those who expressed their opposition to what was happening in that way were breaking the law as well and should be subject to the law. I mean, don't put words in Arlene's mouth or twist what she has said.
Claire Hannah, is it a reasonable inference?
In what she said.
Like I say, Philip, the SDLP is very clear in our view on condemning the law-breaking that has gone on from all sides. But I think you're correct in your inference that it's a time to calm people down. And we've heard about a week of people saying that rioting is unjustified, but we can understand how furious you are. And we need to reset the conversation because of the worrying point that we're at, the sustained nature of the violence, the fact that it is so deliberately being orchestrated
at interfaces and is designed to provoke a response. And just to think for a moment how worrying this is for people who have kids and who live in those areas and who are trying desperately to keep their children out of trouble when there are clearly men of violence trying to incite them into trouble, and how worrying it is for people who have to deliver public services. And we can't lose sight of the fact that, as you say, a bus driver was pulled off a bus was set on fire and sent careering down a busy road, and obviously police officers are facing trouble. So I can understand the frustrations that people have experienced, but it is a time to be very, very direct, and it's thankfully all political leaders and all the parties are meeting the Chief Constable today. The Assembly is meeting, the ministers are meeting, and the party leaders are meeting. And there is an opportunity to try and take a grip of this, because what people don't need to hear is rehashing of why we're all so angry and why we're all justified in being so angry. What people need to hear is a bit of honesty about the risks that we face if we don't put this back on track.
Okay.
So I think there hasn't been a strong leadership from the DUP. I think there has been a dishonesty with people about how we've got to this point with the Northern Ireland Protocol in particular. But leadership is required to calm people down, not to just tell them that their anger is justified.
Sammy Wilson, can I ask you the question first? Does she have a point there? Because the DUP was quick to meet with the Loyalist Communities Council to discuss objections to the Northern Ireland Protocol. But am I correct in saying that the DUP has not met with the same Loyalist Communities Council to say, let's put a stop to 8 nights of violence?
Well, I think that we have had communication with everybody in all of this, both the police and the Loyalist community. Has been face-to-face meetings. I'm not aware of them. But what I would say, and I think that, and I was just going to intervene and say that Claire is not right in what she has said. There's no point in saying that the violence is wrong and then ignoring the causes of the frustration. If you're going to solve the problems in the street, then you've got to address the issues which have allowed this situation to develop, and that means you can't run away from the very harsh truth that the Good Friday Agreement has been ripped up, the assurances in it were given have been taken away, that those who claim that the protocol is necessary to defend the Good Friday Agreement are just pure liars.
And you listened to Billy Hutchinson, he did not itemise any of those things as being at the forefront of the minds of the young lads throwing stones last night.
No, but he did indicate that the Loyalist community felt that they were now isolated because there was two-tier policing, that the Loyalist community felt that their position within the United Kingdom was being undermined. He did say that. I mean, listen to him. All I'm saying is...
What he actually said was, when you are as politically isolated as these communities are because they're not properly being represented by unionism, well, then these other symbols like flags, membership of the United Kingdom become more important.
I don't know if you were listening to the same interview, or maybe you were thinking your next question, not listening to what Billy said. Billy did not say. In fact, he evaded your question as to whether or not the Loyalist communities felt that they were not being represented. He did not, and that is not the answer he gave you. So don't you make up your agenda and then try to make it somebody else's answer.
He did say that unionism needed to step up.
He said we needed leadership within the unionist community, and indeed Arlene Foster was the very person who 3 weeks ago called for all unionists to get together to give that combined leadership and combined force. So actually he was only reflecting what Arlene has already said, and indeed Arlene's put into action because she met with Billy Hutchinson and she met with the Ulster Unionist Party and she met with the TUV to try to get that United Unionist leadership.
Claire Hannah, you wanted to get back in there.
Yes, I listened very carefully to what Billy Hutchinson had to say, and I think what he said is that these young people and loyalism and unionism have been told for weeks and months that they're furious, to be angry, that the Britishness is being taken away, that it's the fault of them and that it's the fault of Dublin and the Catholics and the EU. And they've been told this primarily by the DUP, who are trying to cover up the fact that, one, they led us to this terrible point in Brexit by, at every point,
taking off the table all of the opportunities for a Brexit that didn't put a border somewhere and who are now covering their tracks. And he is correct also to say that they haven't been adequately represented. These young people aren't offered hope. Things like educational underachievement aren't being tackled. Things like joblessness aren't being tackled. And indeed, the opportunity to build an economy that works and to maybe try and grasp, make lemonade from the lemons we've been handed, and Brexit is being squandered by the DUP as well. So this is an age-old strategy in Northern Ireland. Make terrible decisions, lead people to a worse place, and then to distract from it, point the finger of blame at other people. Because as I think most rational people know, this isn't the fault of the EU, it isn't the fault of Dublin, it isn't the fault of ordinary nationalists and Catholics, and this is being done to cover the DUP's tracks. But like I say,
let's have Wilson back in there.
Claire, there's an opportunity to reset that and try and offer these young people some hope.
Let me get something right. Your party is also in the executive. Your party at one stage held the economy portfolio. Your party makes collective decisions on a day-to-day basis. So if you're saying, and I agree that there are lots of issues which need to be addressed, including youth unemployment, which exists both north and south of the border, educational underachievement, which exists both in the Irish Republic and in Northern Ireland, but if those issues have not been properly addressed, your party is equally responsible for it, because you're part of an executive. So don't try and play this game that you're in government, but you're not responsible for any of the failures of government.
And
that's the SDLP play all the time. One of the reasons why the power-sharing executive is so hard to work, because parties like yours are inside and yet continually blame the other parties for what doesn't happen.
Final word to Claire Hannah.
Well, I think your listeners will understand why politics is so difficult in Northern Ireland after listening to this interview. The fact that we haven't ever held the economy portfolio, the SDLP holds a tenth of the portfolios and does our best to try and tackle these systemic and infrastructural reasons why people feel so hopeless. But it is hopelessness, and it's because all they hear morning, noon and night on the radio is political bickering and blame pointing and finger pointing. There's an opportunity to reset it. There's an opportunity to be honest and open with people about the challenges we face and actually try and solve them, not selling people false dreams that, you know, we'll scrap the protocol, you'll get your Britishness back. Just be open and direct with people about what needs to happen from here. And I hope that Sammy's executive and Stormont colleagues take a more nuanced and a more positive view today.
Claire Hannah of the SDLP and Sammy Wilson of the DUP, thank you very much. Coming up after the break, differences in advice on the AstraZeneca vaccine, north and south of the border again.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.